Good afternoon and welcome to The Briefing. My name is Gordon Klug and I'm a partner at Smith Freed Eberhard. We have a Washington legal alert today, which is called, "It's all in the fine print. Are arbitration clauses unconscionable and do they apply retroactively?" Before we get into the legal alert for today, I wanted to briefly mention we have a personal lines review, year-end review webinar taking place next Thursday, February 17, with partners Josh Hayward and Cliff Wilson. And if you'd like more details or to register, please visit our website, smithfreed.com, or reach out to our marketing manager, Abby Ferguson, at afergusson@smithfreed.com. Something else to look out for is two more additions to our success story videos that will be published in the next couple of months, including one from myself and one from partner Josh Hayward. For the future, please send us your feedback if there is a webinar topic or legal alert you would like to see us cover. Also, reach out to us anytime if you would like to have a training designed specifically for your company or team. Now, let's go ahead and get started. Now, today's legal alert is from the Washington Court of Appeals case of Cornelius versus Alpha Kappa Lambda. This was decided on November 8, 2021, and this is a Division I Court of Appeals case. Now, the central issue in this case has to deal with the enforceability of arbitration clauses, and the facts of this case kind of explain why the plaintiff wanted to invalidate this arbitration clause and why the fraternity Alpha Kappa Lambda wanted the arbitration clause to be put into place. If a case is going into arbitration, then they are not going to have the case decided by a jury of their peers. So for certain types of cases that have a high emotional value or that might lend itself to what some people might consider to be a runaway verdict, typically those cases, you see them go into arbitration if it's in a contract or in some sort of an agreement. And that's what we have in this particular case. In this case, 18-year-old Austin Cornelius was a freshman at Washington State University, and he was attempting to pledge the Alpha Kappa Lambda fraternity. Once he went through rush week, and oftentimes these rush week, it does involve a certain amount of alcohol. After you've completed rush week, the initiate is invited to join one or maybe more than one fraternity. And if they pledge to a fraternity, they usually sign an agreement, or it's a contract, allowing them to join the fraternity. And in this particular case, Alpha Kappa Lambda did have a contract that they had Austin Cornelius sign, and this contract was online. What the fraternity members did, and these are fellow 18, 19, 20-year-old college students living in the same house, they told Austin that he needed to sign the paperwork that was contained in this link. And so apparently Austin went through some parties, and at these parties he later claimed that he was hazed and forced to drink an excessive amount of alcohol. And as a result, he ended up having acute alcohol intoxication. And so he signed this arbitration clause online at the urging of his fellow fraternity members, but he claims that he was only given 12 minutes to review this online document before he actually signed it. And so after he was hospitalized for alcohol and poisoning, he then filed suit against Alpha Kappa Lambda. And Alpha Kappa Lambda's lawyers then proceeded to try to get this lawsuit removed into arbitration pursuant to the contract. And in response, Austin and his lawyer said, "No, we would like to actually go in front of a jury." And they did everything possible to try to invalidate that contract. They alleged that the arbitration clause was unconscionable, and as such, it should not be enforced. They also argued that he wasn't given an opportunity to review the terms of the arbitration clause, and as such, it was procedurally unconscionable. He also claimed that the arbitration clause kind of deprived him of his right to a jury trial and to present his claims to to a jury, and that the date that he actually signed the arbitration clause post-dated some of these fraternity parties where he had suffered from acute alcohol intoxication. And so he claimed that anything that any I guess, events of being intoxicated by alcohol that predated him signing that arbitration clause are not bound by that agreement, and as such, his case should go in front of a jury. So at trial, Alpha Kappa Lambda's attorney filed a motion to remove the case and put it into arbitration, and Austin Cornelius's attorney opposed it, claiming that it was procedurally unfair, and the Superior Court judge agreed with him. He deemed that the arbitration clause was not enforceable because it was procedurally unconscionable and that the arbitration clause was buried in a long list of terms and was what's considered to be an adhesion contract. And I'll explain a little bit about what an adhesion contract is a little bit later on. So in Superior Court, the Superior Court judge denied the fraternity's motion to place the case into arbitration. The fraternity then appealed to the Court of Appeals, who then reversed the Superior Court. And on appeal, the Superior Court found that arbitration clauses are favored in Washington, and that they are generally enforced. The only defenses you have to an arbitration clause is whether that particular clause violates any type of right that a party may have under just general contract theory. The court found that when the validity of an agreement to arbitrate is challenged, courts apply ordinary contract law. The courts can consider, one, whether the arbitration agreement is valid, and two, whether the agreement encompasses claims asserted when reviewing the motion to compel arbitration. General contract defenses such as unconscionability may invalidate arbitration agreements. And in this case, we know that the plaintiff argued that forcing him to sign this arbitration clause online and only being given 12 minutes to review it is procedurally unconscionable. The court found that procedural unconscionability is akin to the lack of a meaningful choice, considering all of the circumstances surrounding the transaction. And when evaluating procedural unconscionability, the courts consider the following when determining whether there is evidence of procedural unconscionability. One, is the manner in which the contract was entered. And two, whether the signatory had a reasonable opportunity to understand the terms of the contract. And three, whether the important terms of the contract are hidden in a maze of fine print. And all of these elements pretty much encompass every allegation that was being made by the plaintiff in this case. Specifically on the first element, the manner in which the contract was entered, the plaintiff argued that he was not given much of a meaningful opportunity to review the contract because it was online, he couldn't see the entire agreement, and that he was, quote unquote, coerced into signing the agreement by one of his fellow fraternity brothers. And the court disagreed and concluded that the plaintiff did not present any evidence showing that there was any sort of a time frame that was necessary for a party to review a contract. The evidence is shown in this case that the plaintiff went online, accessed the agreement, and looked at it for a period of 12 minutes. And the plaintiff said that just wasn't long enough, that he should have been explained, someone should have explained to him the significant terms of the agreement, and to a certain extent that he should have been provided some sort of legal opinion as to what the effect would be of him entering into this agreement. And the Court of Appeals just plain disagreed with that and said that the plaintiff has presented no evidence or case law that says that a certain, you know, plaintiffs are entitled to a certain minimum amount of time to review contracts. The plaintiff also did have the opportunity to not pledge to that fraternity, and that was one of the issues that the court kind of honed in on, was that in a sense no one was holding a gun to the plaintiff's head, sign this contract or else, although the plaintiff did allege that if he didn't sign the contract, he wouldn't have had a place to live. But there are other fraternities and other places that he could have lived, not necessarily at the Alpha Kappa Lambda fraternity, if he didn't agree with the arbitration clause. The other issue had to deal with this, what's called an adhesion contract. And when looking at procedural unconscionability, the courts will also evaluate whether important terms of the contract are hidden in a maze of fine print. And an adhesion contract is an agreement that is more or less just a form contract that contains a certain amount of fine print. If you're purchasing any sort of like car or any sort of an electronic device and it has a warranty, warranty is a contract and it'll have certain limitations that are in there. It may even have a clause that says that if you sue us, you have to file suit in another state, for instance, Delaware. Or sometimes contracts might have terms that say, if you sue us, the laws of the state of Wyoming shall apply. That happens at times as well. But these all in the context of a form type of a what's called a take it or leave it agreement. And Washington courts are pretty skeptical somewhat of adhesion contracts in the sense that they will scrutinize them. But if the claimant is given a choice, you can sign the contract or you can decide to not sign the contract and not purchase our, you know, electronic device or purchase the car, or in this case, live at the Alpha Kappa Lambda fraternity. If you have a meaningful choice, that is not consistent with what's considered to be a improper adhesion contract. And so here, the fact that the arbitration clause was buried in what the plaintiff considered said was fine print was not dispositive of this case. Clearly, the contract did have an arbitration clause within it, and the plaintiff agreed to it. It may have been in fine print. It may have been buried in a long contract, but the courts will hold up a party who signs a contract that might be very long that they may not understand, and they will hold them to the terms of that contract. And here, Mr. Cornelius, he agreed that all disputes would be resolved by arbitration, by binding arbitration, not by a jury trial. And so the court, in this case, did not see any evidence that the important terms of the contract were, I guess, overly hidden, or that there was any evidence that plaintiff wasn't given an opportunity to review the documents. I have had some cases where, like on gym memberships, someone who signs up for a gym membership and they're given a little writing board to write their signature, but they're not really given the opportunity to review the contract because the contract is on somebody else's screen. They're just given a little stylus and a pad where they can sign their signature on that contract. I don't know of any case law involving this issue. I haven't heard of any, but that could be an example of an improper adhesion contract where the plaintiff was never really given an opportunity to review the contract before they sign it. And that wasn't the case here with Mr. Cornelius. Yes, he was given a link to access the agreement online, and it was all electronic. He was not given a paper copy of the contract. He also wasn't given a legal opinion as to what the effect would be of entering into that contract and what rights he would be giving up. But the court was persuaded that when evaluating everything, he was given a meaningful choice. Like I said, no one was putting a gun to his head to sign this contract with Alpha Kappa Lambda that had this arbitration clause. And so the court did not find that there was any evidence of procedural unconscionability. So the court in this case did uphold the requirement that the dispute between Mr. Cornelius and Alpha Kappa Lambda should be resolved by arbitration. And the court remanded the case back to Superior Court to transfer this case into arbitration. So the big picture with this particular case is that as much as people may not like adhesion contracts or like arbitration clauses, Washington courts will uphold them. Now, they will scrutinize contracts to make sure that things were not act of deceit that was going on and that the claimant was given a meaningful choice before signing that contract. But in the end, and even in this case where you have a pretty sympathetic story of a plaintiff who sounds like had alcohol intoxication or alcohol poisoning, claim may result in a higher verdict with a jury than what you would expect with an arbitrator. The court was persuaded that Mr. Cornelius was given this meaningful opportunity to, or a meaningful choice before signing that contract, and he chose to sign it, and the court enforced the agreement. So that does it for our legal alert today. I want to thank you so much for joining us for this episode of The Briefing. And if you would like to access more legal alerts or content regarding Oregon and Washington case law, statutory law, or claims help manuals, then please reach out to us at sfe@smithfried.com or visit our website to explore our legal resource section. My name is Gordon Klug, and I appreciate your time today. Thank you, and have a great rest of your week.